Disciples, what have you done for me lately? Well, let's take a look at this past month, in this place, in these pews. We've currently been in three texts. We'll take a look at Vat's picture display of three experiences this past month to take a look at with new eyes. And three authors, current authors. Hosea. Most recently today and into chapter 12 next week, but 11 and 12, he says, I hold you up like my cheek. That's how tender and loving I am. I get down on your level. I kneel down to you. And you do not know that I'm the one that heals you alone? Are you really poisonous weeds in field furrows? 2 Corinthians, so many good things in the chapters we've touched. A few that hopefully will connect with the end of our thoughts today. 2 Corinthians 1:9, this fire of the true God in life with humanity, it certainly seems like a death penalty. So that we have the confidence in God, not in ourselves, to be raised from the dead each day. 2:14, he releases the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere through us. We smell like the aroma of Christ's offering to God the Father, both to those of us being saved and to those of us on the path to destruction. We carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so his true life, living, can be seen in our bodies. 4:13, our faithfulness is what speaks. The person, verse 16, chapter 4, we are on the inside, is being renewed every day. If we're crazy, everybody is crazy. We are crazy for God's sake. And we'll tie this 5:18 Jesus reconciliation truth that he invites and expects of us of how we reconcile with all of humanity. And 6:17, hopefully this will connect at the end. Be separate. Come apart from them. Don't touch what is unclean. Be separate, says the Lord in verse 17. Then I will welcome you. Our discussion on the third text, Mark, through this month. Jesus says in 7:6, Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he called you hypocrites, all of you. Pastor Ed up in Leavenworth. Pastor Luke talked about hypocrites that day. A different Mark text up in Leavenworth talked about, are we helpers or hindrances? As he talked about the precious children. 7:34, Jesus is looking deeply into heaven and sighing, open up, and the man's ears are open and his twisted tongue is released and he speaks clearly. 8:15, watch out for the yeast of Pharisees and Herod and humanity. 8:17, disciples, don't you grasp what happens? Do you understand? Your hearts are this resistant to what I, your God, am doing? Why can you not, disciples, see and hear and remember? 12 loaves left, 7 loaves left. You still don't get it?
I don't.
8:24, a blind man, according to us human experts. Jesus says, what do you see? He says, I see people. And they look like trees? What does that even mean? Only the human trees are walking around. And I'll add, unfortunately, they're talking around true faith. This man, blind by human standards, Jesus is present with, and he's present with Jesus. He then looks with eyes wide open, and he can see everything clearly. 9:24, last week, this verse. Pastor Luke says, I have faith. Help me with my unfaith. So I would say, yeah, I like that. A little faith here, but I've got unbelief. And God says, how's that working for you? It's a disaster. So Pastor Luke's challenge, I have faith. I want to defend myself. And everyone with me, we have faith. Semicolon, Pastor Luke says, wait a minute. This man, confronted with Jesus one-on-one, says, all right, enough games. I hear you. I see you. Help my lack of faith. And in 926, his son, who seems dead, declared by humans dead, Jesus, present, takes his hand, lifts him up, and raises him from death into true life. 810, 932, disciples are silenced after this transfiguration and Jesus' explanation, and they ask, what is this rising from the dead Jesus is talking about? 932, the disciples did not understand his talk of death and resurrection. And so you and I are human. We say we're disciples. We have a lot of humbling and learning to do. 942, I like, instead of a large stone, I like the version that says millstone. At the center of society, where you grind, where you get your food, where you get your money, all the people and power come together. If that's not right, you're lost. You're sunk. In the 40s, those verses, we hear of hand, foot, and mouth disease. We have hand, foot, and eye disease today by Jesus. It's better to cut ties than to stay linked in any unhealthy, unequally yoked body to Christ. Rather than burning together in hypocrisy or as a hindrance, let's be a help today and for eternity, each to each other at all times. And Pastor Luke's message in the newsletter, salted by fire, salt preservative. I didn't get my homework done. I wanted to interrogate my son who went to Hutchinson in the salt mines. So I'm going to use trees today to talk about that because I didn't get my salt homework done. We know this verse, salt losing saltiness. What I want to know is, I don't want to know how salt loses its saltiness. How does salt get its saltiness? Where does it get its grit and its substance, its flavor that lasts and doesn't stale? We want to maintain, this verse says, salt among ourselves. And we want to keep peace with each other. Oh, but Jesus, divorce, Moses said it, right? Yeah, in the Old Testament, they wanted kings. Fine. You, as humanity, it doesn't matter if you're pious or perverse, are you sitting at my feet? You're going to twist whatever words are out there. Be faithful. So those are our current texts. Our current experiences. Somewhere through here, we'll get past Kauffman Gardens and into a retreat center up in Liberty. This month, John, Dave, and I stumbled upon the efforts to take a branch off this building out here on a Saturday morning. And I think we had some learning to do, and there's teaching still to be had. We could start the chainsaw. We couldn't do anything right. And we get the ladder out and we're climbing. And the guys coming out from breakfast, they see what real faith fumbling is. We have no chance. Jacks of some trades, masters of some trades, definitely not the true trade. And these guys walk out and they see vulnerability and fumbling, and they step in and they serve. That's what our faith needs to be. Our community needs to, along with what we're doing, even do it deeper and better. They knock that branch out and up. Dave's throwing gumball seeds at me, and that was me. Stan was there early, before. Came back around, it was done. So he went to the branch on the fence back here. And truck, trailer, full, knocked out the wood. And he took out that goofy little tree thing, took out a shrub that was growing into electrical lines. Stan knows his way around wood and a chainsaw. He mentioned, I don't remember what tree it was, but he's talking about trash trees that just burn hot. And then we have ash trees, I think is what he said. Hey, this is worth drying out because it burns hot and clean. Illustration three. Are you flipping through? You're doing a wonderful job. So have you already gone through them all? Shepherd Retreat Center in Liberty. Leavenworth kids there for learning how to work well with each other. Good luck with that. It was good. That's us in 65 years. 56 acres, 65 years, or vice versa, of property and development for creation and people. And in their discussion, in this lady's discussion, she was really good. Out in the meadow are hedge apple trees. And they burn long and hot. Not just hot, long and clean and hot. I don't know this about hedge apple trees. Those are current experiences for us to think about. As the man who can see says, we look like trees, only we're walking around. Charles Dickens, current authors compared to the Bible, is what I should say. Tale of Two Cities, see if I can find that for us real quick here. So many lines. Someone who's in society and separate from society, looking at us, looking at self, impressed and not impressed. He says a line in this story that never ends. Secondhand choices are as easy to cast off as secondhand clothing. And for us, we're learning to see and know the Christ life and light where there is one thing needful. It's going to reflect in it. Does it reflect in our life and our time and our choices and our phone pictures and our technology search histories and comments? Does it show that Christ consumes and clothes or strips us naked and refines us purely? We will never cast him off easy because he's priority number one. He's our everything. We're consumed by him, and he is a consuming fire of us, whether we're in his camp or not, he prevails. So that was him in England and France and the United States in the 1800s, that century. And of course, we have to go back to more Dostoevsky, Notes from the Underground, and Grand Inquisitor. And he comes up with phrases like, brothers, don't have fear of men's sin. Love a man even in his sin, for this is the semblance of divine love. It's the highest love on earth, love of God's creation, all of it, the whole and every grain of sand, every leaf, every ray. Love animals, plants, everything. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. That's what we want. Once you perceive it, you'll begin to comprehend it better every day. You'll come at last to love the whole world with an all-embracing love. Man, don't take pride. Do not pride yourself in superiority to the animals. They are without sin, and you with your greatness. You defile the earth by your appearance on it, leave traces of your foulness after you. It's true of almost every one of us. Love children especially, for they too are sinless like angels. They live to soften and purify our hearts. And as it were, to guide us, the children guiding us. Third author, 1900s. I'm going to say Germany, France, United States, around the time of the Holocaust. We have a Jewish woman moral philosopher named Hannah Arendt. And the Kansas City Stream of books and movies, etc., you can see some of their representation of her life. And she got exiled. She did not make the Jewish people happy. She assessed Eichmann's trial and threw out a term like banality, whatever it is, of evil. So she has some thoughts for you and me in our thinking and living, our and refugees. I talked about that last time, and reconciliation. Man's a social creature. Life isn't easy for him when he's cut off. We don't want to be refugees. We don't want to call ourselves stateless. On thinking, there's conviction that every one of us as human beings is a thinking being. All thinking is thinking in critical ways, which means thought undermines rigid rules, general convictions, etc. All thinking can be so scrutinized, which means there are no dangerous thoughts, because thinking itself is a dangerous enterprise. The only thing more dangerous? Non-thinking. And she says, this we know as humanity, but you tell me. How can I create that desire in every or any man? I don't know. She was represented as an independent thinker. She didn't belong to categories. She was, but she was separate also. Here's a person thinking about the most important issues, they say. It gives her a certain kind of commitment, a commitment reserved for refugees. Jesus, his people. Heaven is home. We are refugees. Let's learn to lean in and live like that. She doesn't fit a category of a liberal or a classic Marxist or a classic conservative. She is always transforming. She's a person thinking about the most important issues of our time without being limited by these labels. Reconciliation. Jesus reconciles us. He's the map. He's the model. He's the author. And in that 2 Corinthians, he asks us to do likewise. This is what she says about what reconciliation is. It neither forgives. It doesn't accept the sins of another. It judges it. And I'll say in place, God is the judge. So when we reconcile, we take upon ourselves as members of humanity the burden of what some other has done. And yet we don't accept the blame. We don't absolve him or her from their blame. We're a mess. Rather, we take upon ourselves the injustice that has occurred in reality. It's a decision that we will partner side by side to the accountability of reconciliation, reformation, redemption. We are not at all a partner to the guilt of another, necessarily. Three authors, three experiences, and texts. Last illustration and we're done. The campfire. Another outdoor experience like I had through the years. A guy pulls out the campfire, and what's not to learn there? Cold at your back, embers blazing in front of you, and he pulls the stick out, and I think this is a Mulholland invitation to a journey concept. When you separate from the source and that heat and us together, can you survive alone? And I want to think of the widow in 1 and 2 Kings and the oil that never runs out. And I want to say these people are examples of the refugee in us. We're okay being separate, because we do believe in the God of true faith and miracles. And as we are lit and ablaze, we're part of all camps. And our refinement, when we join others who are about God's refining business, that's going to stir things up and stoke and purify in better ways. And when we're not with people about God's business, we're still present. We don't have to say a word. Because we're focused, we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're sitting at the feet of his creation and his trees, the lilies and the sparrows that Jesus says we're better than. Let's start learning from them and be willing to be a part and a part he can do.